My dear sisters and brothers, my dear brother priests and seminarians who are serving for us tonight, Happy New Year to all of you. Thank you very, very much. When did we begin to celebrate the new year on January the 1st? I looked it up today. We began to celebrate on January 1st in the year 153 BC. And the reason for it was that the Roman consul began to take his office on the 1st of January. And because the Romans were in charge of the Western world at that time, eventually that became the reason for New Year's Day being January the 1st. So it has nothing at all to do with the church. But nonetheless, we celebrate New Year's Eve yesterday and New Year's Day today. And it would be important for us to reflect on it from a Christian point of view, beginning with a reflection on the meaning of time. You know, Christians have always seen time as a gift from God to us. And how we use time is our gift to God. So time is a gift, and time can be a gift from us to the God who made us. So it's important for us to use time well. You know, for some people, some religions, historically, people have seen time as cyclical, which means it goes in circles and repeats itself time and time and time again. I guess they got that notion from the changing seasons, winter and spring and summer and fall, and then winter and spring and summer and fall, over and over again. But that's not how we understand time as Christians. It's not cyclical, nor is it a spiral. Some people see it's a spiral. It's kind of going down or maybe going up, but nonetheless, repeated things over and over again with some progress or some diminishment. Christians see time as linear, which means it goes from the beginning until the future that God has planned for us. And every step along the way is important. It's a time of grace, a time of God's love. And we believe that at Christmas, those many years ago, the first Christmas, God entered time from his eternity. And ever since that moment, the world has changed. So we celebrate Happy New Year in the world around us, but we also ought to be celebrating a new year in our hearts. And I would encourage you to make some resolution on January 1st about this year being better than the last one. So take a moment here. How should your life change? Some of us are going to lose weight, at least for a couple days. Some of us are going to give up smoking or be more reasonable in our drinking. And those can be good intentions. Those can be very good resolutions. But the best kind of resolution is that we become more serious about our faith and we begin to live it practically rather than let it be an abstraction in our lives. Nonetheless, I invite you on this New Year's Day to make some kind of resolution that would be pleasing to God. Today, the church doesn't celebrate New Year's. As I mentioned, we celebrate four different things. And I'm going to talk about these four things. So I beg your indulgence for a lengthy homily. First of all, we celebrate the octave of Christmas. Christmas happened 8 days ago. It's 8 days is from where we get the word octave. So we celebrate the octave of Christmas today. I'll talk about that in a moment. The second thing we celebrate, and those of us who are my age and older remember this, it used to be the feast of the circumcision of Jesus and, in some sense, the feast of his holy name. Because when Jesus was circumcised, he received the name that God had planned for him from all eternity. So we also celebrate that. In 1967, Pope Paul VI also told priests that they could celebrate one Mass on New Year's Day for world peace. So this is the day the Pope has set aside for world peace. And finally, and most importantly, what we celebrate today is the solemnity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. So those are the four things I'm going to talk to you about this evening. Let's begin with the octave of Christmas. The really big feasts of the church are celebrated for 8 days. We have the Easter octave, which goes on for 8 days, the octave of Christmas, which we celebrate now, and then the octave of Pentecost. So the really big feast days are celebrated for 8 days because this is something; these are something to celebrate. In the world around us, we talk about the 12 days of Christmas. There's a song about it, I think, some of us know, or we give our true love a pear tree or something, or a partridge or something like that. But what the church celebrates is 8 days, the 8 days of Christmas. And when I was talking to my sister on the phone this afternoon, I told her I was going to use her as a bad example in my homily this evening. I understand we're video copying these, and also they're on digital recording, so she can hear what I have to say about her. But I often say this about her. My sister begins to put away the Christmas decorations from her home when? On Christmas Day. As soon as her children head back to their homes with their children, she takes down the tree and begins to pack away for a year the Christmas decorations. And no matter how many times I tell her, I'm her younger brother, that she should celebrate Christmas for at least 8 days, but until the feast of the baptism of Jesus, she ignores me. And she laughed at me again today when I told her I was going to tell this to you. So don't follow my sister's example. Follow the practice of the church, which is to celebrate the feast of Christmas for this week and also into this next week until the feast of the baptism of Jesus next Sunday. It's a very important feast that celebrates central truths of our faith. And I'd like to read to you two of the antiphons that are used at the Divine Office, the official prayer of the church. The antiphons are little expressions that summarize what the faith of the church is about. So this morning at morning prayer and tonight at evening prayer, the church that was praying the office heard these words from morning prayer. This is from evening prayer. O marvelous exchange! Man's creator has become man, born of a virgin. We have been made sharers in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share our humanity. I mean, this is what Christmas is about, that God humbled himself, came down to share our humanity. And in doing so, he raises us up and gives us a share, in some sense, in his divinity. We heard that in today's second reading, where we were told by St. Paul in this passage from Galatians that we have become sons in the Son, able to call out to God, "You are my Father." So Christmas is the wonderful proclamation and celebration of that reality. Then in morning prayer, we had this antiphon. Marvelous is the mystery proclaimed today. Man's nature is made new as God becomes man. He remains what he was, God, and becomes what he was not, man. Yet, each nature stays distinct and forever undivided. Now, God became one of us, became what he wasn't before. And what's beautiful about this, and I'd like to bring it to your attention, is that that embrace of our human nature is perpetual, goes on forever. When Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, he took our humanity with him to the Father. And so this joining of God and man in the person of Jesus Christ remains forever, undivided. Now, isn't that something we should celebrate for at least 8 days? So don't imitate the world around you that turned off the Christmas music on the 26th. Celebrate Christmas in your homes, in your heart, into the completion of the Christmas season. The second thing the church celebrates is the circumcision of Jesus and the giving of his holy name. From the letter to the Galatians, we heard St. Paul say, when the fullness of time had come, fullness means it was complete, God's plan was becoming complete, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. You know, the law of Moses required that all the male Jews would be circumcised as an external sign that they belonged to the people of God. So when God became man in Jesus Christ, he entered into God's holy people, the Jewish people, and was circumcised. And then St. Paul goes on to say the reason for this: to ransom those under the law, it's all of us. Christ came to ransom us. The ransom means to pay someone to save. And the payment, the ransom, was Jesus' death on the cross. He paid it for our sins, so that we might receive adoption as sons, crying out, Abba, Father. That because of Christmas, we are able to talk to God with the language that Jesus used in reference to the Father. He called God Abba, which is tender, loving Father. So in Jesus, because of our baptism, because of the incarnation, you and I become sons in the Son, whether we're male or female. When God looks on us, he sees his beloved Son, in whose image we have been made. And we're able to say to God, listen, you're my Father, which is a great privilege that we share because of our baptism, because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was given the name announced by the angel before he was even conceived. The name Jesus, Joshua, means God saves. Among the Jews, a name was potent. It gave power. It was the embodiment of a person's identity. And that's who Jesus is. He is the one that God, through whom God saves his people. The holy name of Jesus. I notice many of you here have the Catholic practice of bowing your head when the name of Jesus is proclaimed. That's wonderful. It's a very good habit to remind yourself that salvation comes through one person alone, and that person's name is Jesus, who saves us from our sins. May God be praised. That's the second thing we celebrate. The third thing we celebrate is World Day of Peace. As I mentioned, Pope Paul VI, how many are old enough to remember him? Not too many of us here, but, you know, he was the Pope of my early days of the priesthood. And he, in 1967, he said that the Church can celebrate one of the Masses on New Year's Day as a Mass for world peace. And the world certainly needs peace, doesn't it? Because we live in tragic times. I guess every time is a tragic time. People war against one another. They hate one another. We are divided from one another, and there is no peace. So we need to pray for peace. And every year on this occasion of World Day for Priests, the Holy Father issues a letter and a theme for this Sunday. And the theme this year is the following: educating the young in justice and peace. Reminding the Church, reminding educators, which means bishops, parents, pastors, sisters, teachers in schools, that we have an obligation to teach the young adults of the Church in a very special way, the importance of working for peace and for justice in the world. You know, some Christians, some Catholics even, think that justice and peace is simply what the gospel is about. It's just about doing justice. It's about helping other people, helping the poor. We don't believe that's true, but that's an essential part of the gospel. We're not yet disciples of Jesus unless we're committed to justice and to peace. And so if you're kind of a right-wing Catholic, don't reject justice and peace because you think it belongs to the left. It belongs to the Church, to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We have a duty to work for peace and to work for justice. And if you want peace, Pope Paul VI said, you have to work for justice. It's the only way to bring peace into the world. And to those of you who are young adults, I'd like to read just a few words of what Pope Benedict XVI says to you today on this day of prayer for world peace. He says this: the Church looks to young people with hope and confidence. So those of you who are young adults, the Church looks to you with hope, which means confidence in the future, and confidence. She encourages them to seek the truth, to defend the common good, and to be open to the world around them and willing to see new things. You know, the problem with us old folks, we have a lot of experience, but sometimes that gets in the way because we always do it the same old way, or we think we know how it should be done. And sometimes it's difficult for older people to see the new things that God desires for the world. And young people have the ability to do that in an extraordinary way. So I join my voice to the voice of our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, and I encourage the young people here, seek the truth. Defend the common good, which doesn't mean the good for most people, it means the good for everyone. And to be open to the world around you and willing to see the new things that God wants to do, especially through you. The church is also in your hands. Embrace it. Be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. And finally, and most importantly, the church today celebrates the solemnity, not just the feast, but solemnity means the most important feast, the most solemn feast of the Blessed, means Holy Virgin. You know what the word virgin means, that Christ was born not through the actions of a man, but through the God alone, the Blessed Virgin Mary. The word Mary means, what does it mean? I forget. Well, it comes from the word Miriam in the Old Testament, but it means something, and I forget what it means. I'm sorry. Beautiful what? I don't think that's what I read it meant. But anyway, I guess it's, the Lord doesn't want me to remember because I can't remember. But Mary's importance is not in her name, but in who she was for Jesus. In today's gospel reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, we hear these things. St. Luke said, Mary kept all these things. Actually, the literal words are, she pieced things together. Mary pieced things together, reflecting on them in her heart. Now, she was the woman who was able to piece things together, to bring order out of all that she was experiencing. And she was able to do that in her heart because of the extraordinary graces that God was giving her, because she was to be the mother of Jesus. And Mary can help us to do the same. You know, she's the woman of prayer. She teaches us how to pray, which means bringing things together, the confusion of our lives, bringing it all together, piecing it together in our hearts. So we ask Mary to teach us how to pray. This feast in the Greek is celebrated as a feast of the Theotokos. That's a Greek word that means God-bearer, because there were debates in the early church. Is Mary the mother of Jesus, who was a man who received identity as God, or was Mary precisely the mother of God? Was she just the mother of Jesus, or was she the mother of God? And a lot's at stake in this debate, because when we say Mary is the mother of God, we're saying that Jesus is God, and not just a godly man. So we celebrate Mary's motherhood of God become man in Jesus Christ. And this name, Theotokos, is the fundamental name that the church has given to Mary, the God-bearer. And she teaches us many things. She teaches us, as I said earlier, to be people of prayer. But she also teaches us how to love her son. She loves Jesus. She's always in relation to Jesus as a mother relates to her child. And those of you who are mothers know that that relationship is a relationship of intense kind of love. And just as Mary received Jesus into her womb, Mary wants to teach us to receive Jesus into our lives, into our hearts, to love him truly and deeply, to love him with all that we are and all that we can be. And so on this octave of the celebration of Christmas, we celebrate the fact that God wants us to love Jesus as Mary loves Jesus. But Mary's motherhood also extends beyond her love for Jesus. Mary is also the mother of the church and the mother of each one of us individually. It's part of our Catholic understanding of who Mary is. She is a disciple of Jesus, the absolutely best disciple that Jesus has ever had or ever could have. But she's also our mother. And just as she loved Jesus tenderly in her heart, if she's our mother, she loves us in that same kind of way. So we're taught on this feast to love Mary as our mother, the one who is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this feast means a lot of different things, doesn't it? And each one of those is something that we should be thoughtful about and reflecting about in our hearts as we celebrate this first day of this civic year. We pray that we'll learn from this feast many, many things. But mostly, we'll learn how to love Jesus in the depth of our hearts. Happy New Year.